You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Amen, church. Great to be together with everybody. Welcome. Thank you, Noberto, for bringing us back to the cross, helping us understand really why we're here. The gospel message is a message of great encouragement. The communion we take every week is designed to remind us of this good news. What is that good news? It's that we can be new. It's that the old can be gone and the new can be here, right? It's that Jesus died, sacrificed for our life, right? Paid a price we could not pay. He resurrected and gave us an opportunity to be new, not just one time. I myself got baptized many years ago, October 15, 1990, many, many years ago. But I didn't become new just that one time. The message of the cross, the good news is that you get to be new every day, multiple times in the same day. I know there's some here today that think, no, maybe I can't be new. I've done too much. I've wrecked too many things. Sometimes we feel that way. But the good news is you can be new. Amen. And so the gospel is encouraging. I was a self-glorifying, self-gratifying, single professional, living in LA, seeking things that were not godly, looking for the American dream, which only brought emptiness, and God, through the gospel, changed my life. Amen? So I'm going to have a hard sermon for us today, but I wanted to start telling you there's good news, okay? There's good news. The good news is that you can be new. And so I'm going to challenge us here today. It's the third part of our series that we're doing. We've been doing this series called Enter the King's Service. And today's title is Give Your Best. And I love this topic because I believe in this. I believe in finding the one thing worth your very best. And we have found, if you're here today, you're here because Jesus is Lord. And He is the Lord. He needs to be your Lord, not just the Lord. He is the Lord of all the world. But today I want us to do a really, really honest soul searching. Has He been our Lord lately? Let's go to God in prayer, and we're going to dig in a little further. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to gather to worship. Thank you, Father, so much for remembering the cross. Father, thank you so much for the good news. And Father, we want to enter your service. We want to give our very best. Father, where maybe we have been distracted, fallen short, not seeing clearly you on the throne of all creation, help us to repent. Be with us right now, God. Strengthen the West Side. Strengthen all those who've gathered here today. May you strengthen our church, all our sister churches, our worldwide fellowship, and all over the world, churches that you are strengthening to bring honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So our series entitled Enter the King's Service has had three parts, and today's the third. We talked about owning the mission that Jesus gave us, right? Ultimately, the church is Jesus's, but we can't be customers. We can't just be employees. We have to be owners of the mission of God. It's the mission He's given us. And when we take ownership, like when we own our own home, we take responsibility. Number two, we talked about whose glory do you serve for? Last week, we talked about not doing it for really impure motives, what you look like, prestige, what you'll get out of it, accolades from one another, or there can be all sorts of impure motives that motivate us to do stuff, but ultimately, Jesus deserves the glory and the honor. We need to live lives that honor Him. And today I want to talk about giving your very best. And we've been studying the story of Belshazzar from Daniel chapter 5. If you want to turn to chapter 5, we're going to go there in a minute. But I want to begin by telling you a little story. I watched a video of another preacher, which is these days kind of cool. We can all get lots of spiritual food from hearing lessons from all over the world. So I saw this video of a preacher. He had been invited to an all-black church. He was a white guy, probably about my age, and he was preaching at an all-black church. And before he got up to preach, he met a lady in the front row, and she asked him, says, "Who are you?" And he says, "You know, I'm preaching today." And she goes, "Oh, you got the stuff?" And he goes, "What do you mean? You're going to bring some stuff?" And he's like, I think I got the stuff. I got the stuff. I got the word. She says, "You know, we come to church to worship, We didn't come to leave early, so don't worry about your time. You just preach, right? And he's like, okay. And she says, and by the way, have you ever been here? He's like, no, I haven't been here. And she says to him, we sing for an hour before service starts. He's like, oh, okay. He says, yeah, because we got to get the darkness out. We got to get the bad spirits out. We got to get Satan out. And singing, like Elf taught all of us, singing loudly is how you get the spirit of Christmas in, right? Right? How do you bring Christmas cheer? Singing loudly for all to hear. And so he's like, all right. No, she didn't quote Elf. She just said, man, we sing. And he said, and he was sharing as he's preaching the sermon, he says, as she was singing so loud, so passionately, she began to weep. And he goes, man, I began to weep. I was like, I just started crying, worshiping, and I loved it. And then after the singing, before he got up there, the pastor had invited him and says, so I see you met Sister Teresa. And he says, yeah. He said, did she share her testimony with you? He goes, no. Man, she was passionate. And he goes, okay, you know, you don't know her story, but her husband and her two children were killed a year ago in a shooting. She herself has cancer. Did she tell you that? But she loves God more than anyone else that I know. And he goes, I'm moved. I'm changed already. I want to be like her. And so the message is this. The gospel changes us in any situation we're in. And God's calling us to give our very best, like Sister Teresa, who knew that being near God is the water she drinks, the food she eats, the sustenance of her very life. And I know there's a few people just like her in here, amen? And then there's a few of us that aren't quite that passionate. And so today, if the shoe fits, please wear it. Let's dig in, all right? Let's dig in, and we're going to begin in Daniel chapter 5. Of course, here's the writing on the wall. I love this passage. You know, that the hand had appeared to King Belshazzar, and it wrote these words, mean, tekel, parson, on the wall after, of course, he had brought the gold and silver goblets that were from the Jerusalem temple, God's, you know, temple, had been taken by the Babylonians, brought to the empire, and then he foolishly uses them for prestige and ungodliness and just for his own party. And then the hand appears on the wall and writes these words. And no one in the kingdom can interpret the words, right? We studied this the last couple weeks. But there was a man, Daniel, who had kind of fallen into, he wasn't too popular at this point for this king, but the king's mother, the queen, she knew about him. She brings him in, and Daniel comes, and he interprets what these words mean. And we're just going to read a little bit here of what this is. I love, as he begins to explain, he says, but you, telling Belshazzar, we talked about this last week, you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. And he interprets those words. Here is what these words mean. Tekel in Aramaic. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. That can be a little bit of a scary concept. You ever think about that? The king Belshazzar had been given this opportunity to lead his own nation. And yet he did not honor God, whom his own grandfather had sent a proclamation all throughout the land saying, Daniel's God is the real God. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, had been shown to him who the real God was. But Belshazzar, he did not do that. He did not listen. And he was weighed on the scales and found wanting. Today, if your life were placed on God's scales, what would it reveal? You know, we are saved by grace, right? We can't earn this eternal gift, this infinite gift of this idea of eternity with God. We cannot earn it. But grace, which the communion is all about that, does not make our choices meaningless. Do I honor the King with what he gave me? That is the question today. The question is not simply, did I attend church? You know, it's, have I given God, who gave everything for me, have I truly given him my best? There are some great examples amongst us. I could list a number of you. Today, the example I've thought of is a sister who is not even here. Maybe she'll hear this, but that's our sister Patrice Jackson. She gives her best. She's incredible, right? We all know when for the holidays, we have her set up the food table and decorate it on all the main Mother's Day, Father's Day, and she does a phenomenal job. She loves doing things excellently, beautifully, precisely. You know, she's out traveling with her husband. She's on vacation right now, but she made a call. I just found out this morning. She made a call this morning and had a DoorDash of all the refreshments for our sound crew, which normally her and David bring. And last week I noticed they weren't here. This week they showed up. I'm like, how'd they get here? Patrice made a call while she's on vacation to get them here. She's thinking others. Do things excellent. And I know we all appreciate that. You know, if she's decorated for one of your parties, which she's done that for us many times, you're always like, wow, this is impressive. Because she's interested in giving her best. Amen? And see, Daniel was that kind of hero. Daniel was that. He challenged Belshazzar. Of course, he said, your time is over. You've been weighed on the scales. Found wanting. You don't match up. It's an imbalanced scale because you've not given what you needed to give. And then in chapter 6, a new king takes over. Darius the Mede in chapter 6. And we're not going to get into this. This is, you know, the most famous story in the book of Daniel, which we're not going to read. But it's him being, you know, being saved from the lion's den because the king had said that Daniel, who was one of his main leaders, right? He had to be thrown into the lion's den because, if you read the story, because the other leaders in the kingdom were jealous of Daniel because he had an excellent spirit, right? We're going to read this verse, all right? So you got to give God an excellent spirit. If you're going to give him your best, it starts with giving him an all-in spirit, an excellent spirit. The text in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3 says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. And then the other guys were jealous. They're like, what? So like, we're going to have to trap him based on his faith. And so they came up with this way to trick the king. And they said, hey, king, sign into law that no one can pray to anyone other than you. You're the great king. And they're like, and he foolishly goes, okay, I'll sign that into law. They tricked him. Of course, Daniel had a habit of praying 3 times a day, every single day, facing Jerusalem to Jehovah God, the real God, his God. And all of a sudden, they said, hey, you know, guys, Daniel doesn't obey the king. And Daniel's like, what? Why not? He prays 3 times a day. And the king was caught. He's like, oh, my goodness. And then he had to hold to his word. And I love this passage right here. In the ESV version, it says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. The Greek word actually is like an all-in spirit. So this is the ESV of that same verse. He had an all-in spirit. I'm going to give my very best. I'm not going to back down, right? I'm not going to back down. Daniel gave his best. He knew that in a foreign country, in the world he lived in, his work reflected his worship of God. How is he going to evangelize in this city of Babylon? How is he going to change the world when his country had been decimated? How do we change our society right now in a really dark world, a dark, distracted, and ungodly culture? And we have an ungodly culture. How you work, how you carry yourself reflects who you worship. And so the bottom line is it's very important to have an excellent spirit, a desire to be all in with your spirit. Amen? And essentially the word here, that the distinguished qualities, really meant he was just all in completely so he'd do a great job. And all of us can relate to wanting to do a great job with many things that are important to us, right? I've been to a lot of your birthday parties. Some of them Patrice decorated for, and she always did a great job. Some of your big parties, your 50th, or I was at a 30th recently for Rocio. And, you know, a lot of these things, you know, the planning goes on for like a year. Some of you plan a year, all right? My wife's working on my 60th, which is next year, so we're thinking about a big party. She's already thinking about it a year in advance, right? A lot of you guys have parties. You're like, oh, it's going to be a great party. I know my 40th was... She planned it for at least a year. It was like the best party ever in the history of my life, right? So I don't want to put a challenge on her for 60, but, you know, I got out of the country at 50. I was like, I don't need a party. I'm just leaving. I can't believe I'm 50. Now I'm going to be 60 next year. I'm like, wow, all right, I'm just going to embrace I'm old. Let's throw a party. But we plan for stuff that matters to us. And we plan for the people that matter to us, don't we? Right? I mean, being at these parties, I see the spouses and the husbands and the best friends. They spend hours decorating, setting up the lights, making the little things precise, getting there way ahead of time so that that celebration can be awesome. You guys with me? Getting there way ahead of time so that celebration can be awesome. Getting there way ahead of time so the celebration can be awesome. You guys get the feeling right there? Is Sunday not a celebration of God? Are we not trying to change the very fiber of the society we live in? Every week, somebody new comes to church. Sometimes they just find us. How many of you have found us online and showed up? Raise your hand. Not today, but ever. You found us ever. A ton of you, all right, found us online and just showed up. That's what happens. And every week is new people. Maybe the person that God's bringing, he's specifically bringing them to meet you. You happen to have the stuff that they need, right? You have the life, the testimony, the person, the experience. I don't know what it is, but you're needed. But if you show up late and the parking lot's full, you know, might not get in there till like quarter after. And then if the parking's really bad, forget it. You just turn around and go home. I've heard many people do that. It's like, I just didn't want to put up with it. Like Yolanda shared, it's hard to even show up sometimes. And for those of you that are introverts, I thank you for sacrificing and being around a crowd of people. It's painful, I know. I have a few of those in my family. It takes some self-denial. That's what Jesus called you to. Good job. Some self-denial is needed. Amen. But we celebrate. We give God our best. And we have a spirit of excellence to do things excellently. And so many of you do. So many of you do. Oftentimes, though, we're not all where we need to be. And I want to go really into my second main point here. And that's this. Give God your best. Give your best, not your leftovers. Of course, you know, we're gonna look at the passage. You guys know it. A lot of you know it in Malachi. We're going to get there in just a minute. But, you know, in Daniel 10, what did Daniel do? It says three times, after he heard that you're not allowed to pray to the king, to God, you can only pray to the king. He goes, okay. He went back to his house, got on his knees, and did what God wanted, no matter what the consequences would be. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. See, Daniel, he had already developed a rhythm of his life that prioritized God. We've been going through the Solitude series. Thank you, brothers, for teaching on that at our midweeks. We're talking about a rhythm that brings God into our life. Daily time, a rhythm where God is first, a rhythm of time with God. Reading your Bible. There's a brother, a new brother, he's a great servant. You know, Grant. Grant is always trying, he's like, I read my Bible every day. I'm saying, good. He's like, I love reading the Bible. I need the Bible because if I don't read the Bible, then I become who I used to be. And I don't want to be who I used to be. And so a rhythm is needed, right? A strong rhythm, a daily rhythm of time with God. And that's what Daniel had. He gave God his best, no matter the consequences. And of course, God saved him from some difficult things. I mean, the story of Daniel is just so faith-building. We're not doing an exegesis on it, but I do want us to study this concept. And it's just, today's a challenge for each of us. There's a scale. It's not the scale for salvation, because that's a free gift. But the grace of God calls us, is he your Lord? And is that reflected in how you live every morning you wake up? I love this passage. It's a challenging passage. Later on in the history of Israel, the temple had been rebuilt. Right? They had been restored after the book of Daniel, where the Israelites had been taken into captivity. Eventually, they got to go home. Darius, the guy, eventually this guy Darius sends out a command, and then Cyrus comes in, and they're like, "Yes, we're going to let your people go home." And that's a whole other story in the Old Testament, which is quite amazing. But then later on, we get this book Malachi, or for the Italians, Malachi, right? And he is talking about how they had gone back to the temple. They were attending church, but they were not honoring God. And you find this passage, when you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. And later on in the passage, he says, for I am a great king. Where is the honor due me? I am a great king. Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not carry a cross daily and follow me is not worthy of me. No one is worth more than Jesus, church. The very fiber of our life is that all of you should be desperate to pour your life out as much as possible to honor the king, to enter the king's service, to give your very best. In this day, they had gotten a little watered down in their convictions. They attended church, but they were not giving God their best. And so this letter was written. And at the end of the letter, of course, we don't hear again from the prophets until Jesus shows up. This is the last of the book of the Old Testament. It's 400 years until John the Baptist shows up and starts preaching about Jesus. But in this book, he is challenging the followers of God. And so as disciples, as if you're visiting today, I hope you want to hear, God calls you to more than church attendance. God's calling you to more than membership in a local church. God is calling you to change the world. God is calling you, you should be clamoring for time to grow and be trained and to want to go. More and more of you know, it's so exciting. We've got new ministers coming in. I'm so happy. One of them coming in, she's a kingdom kid. And she's from Texas, Maddie. She's going to be here. I'm so proud of her. I'm so grateful. At 25-year-old, she's like, I want to go in the ministry. And you guys all know, a lot of you at your age, you know, ministry's tough, right? It's hard to be a small group leader. It's hard to be a minister. It's sacrificial. It's difficult. People don't always like you. You don't make that much money, right? You really don't. But she's passionate. She's like, I want to do it. I was like, awesome. You're going to meet her. She'll be here in the next 10 days, right? And then Connor. Connor's coming in as our campus guy. Same thing. Off the mission field. I want to be in the ministry. The ICMC is just going on. That's our International Campus Ministry Conference. Filled with almost 2,000 kids. They're all desperate. They all want to go in the ministry. They want to start new churches. They want to do something great. How many of you, I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you ever in your Christian life, and I know a lot of you can answer affirmative this, ever thought, I want to go into the full-time ministry, ever in your Christian life? Raise your hand if you ever wanted to. It's like maybe 30% of you, 40%. Thank you. I know that many of you have felt that calling. And it's a good calling. Not all are called into the full-time ministry. And that's okay, because you're all called to full-time service, right? Not everyone's going to be the paid minister, but everyone is a minister. Everyone is a priest of the Most High God. Amen, church? All of us. And I love to hear, we've got to rejuvenate that spirit so more of our young people want to go in the ministry, that we're building something to change the world. Disciple making, that's the gift that we have. It's a gift that we give. We believe in being disciples who make disciples, who call one another to be disciples, who get together with one another and talk about how we're really doing. That's why at the end of church, our services are usually really vibing with energy, because we know each other's lives because we're discipling one another. That is what the church of Jesus is supposed to be about. Let's not lose that. That's a gift that we have to give. Amen? You know, the book of Malachi goes on this idea, and I got to read this verse to us. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Yes, this is an issue. If God gets our best, he gets our best time, he gets our best talent, he gets our best creativity. You know, Patrice is an example of that. He gets the best of your resources. He gets the first of your resources. He's a great king. Everything else on this earth will burn. I've oftentimes prayed a billionaire becomes a disciple of Jesus in our congregation. Why? Because then we can do a whole lot of stuff, and hopefully he'll tithe. What's 10% of a billion? That's a lot, right? 10% of a billion is 100 million. I mean, we could do a lot. We could build, we could build orphanages. You know, we could build churches. We could build training grounds. We could build a university pretty much, right? for the glory of God. Pepperdine University, started by a really rich guy, a Church of Christ guy, because he wanted to advance the gospel. And praise God for Pepperdine. We have people that work there. We have students. Our students will be back in town in a couple weeks and start filling up the auditorium, which is going to be awesome. A rich guy goes, I want to honor God with my wealth. I'm going to build a university to promote the Great Commission. Amen? But unfortunately, a lot of us in here, we do not give God our best in that way. Some of us do. Some of us are amazing. Some of us are so sacrificial. Many of us are not. Many of us don't have a conviction. We just don't think it matters. We're like, let me tell you, without the local church, without the church, the local church in every community, you don't have nonprofits starting up to do other good deeds. All the hospitals built across the land, the original hospitals were built by Christians who loved Jesus. He said, I want to do work of healing. And all the benevolent stuff that gets started because the local church gets strong and gets a conviction. But if you don't give to the local church, everything else is going to go by the wayside. Trust me, you need a conviction. And some of you have it. I give a tithe to the local church. And in the New Testament, there's no law. There's no rule. Nobody's going to get, you've not broken a law. It's a law of generosity, of gratitude, of service. There's no right amount, the perfect amount. The Old Testament, there were laws. Yeah, 10% was the law. Shouldn't we at least have as much conviction as people who live by the law? We should. Every one of you should. Even I was thinking about family members of mine that don't even go to church. They should still tithe. Why? Because God gave them the ability to earn wealth. They should honor the God who gave them health, gave them life, gave them wealth. They absolutely should honor God. And I have a conviction about this. I gave up my life as a stockbroker. I dreamed to make millions of dollars. I became a minister because I'm like, you know what? I need that one thing worth all I got. And I get paid a salary as a minister. Thank you very much. It's a modest salary similar to an LA County teacher. I'm grateful for it. I'm happy. I live well. I'm doing just fine. I've never not given over 10% ever. As long as I've been a disciple, and I always will give at least that, if not more, every year. How about you? Let's look at our heart. If you're not honoring God in this area, you're really missing the boat. He's pretty harsh right here. He's like, you're robbing. You're stealing from God. Would you go into his room and steal from God? That's what he's saying. You count the cost. You think about it. He doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. But where your heart is, there your money will be also. Amen? Paul, he takes on this thought. He says to Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. Right? A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best to know the word, to be able to guide people, to live a life of faithfulness. Do your best. Colossians 3, we all know this verse. It's a great one. Whatever you do, work it at with all your heart as working for the Lord. We're working for the Lord, right? We're going to show up. Imagine, okay, if you get a job in LA, some of these high-tech jobs, right? If you get hired at a high-tech job in LA, maybe making over 100K, and it's your first day to come to work, would you show up? You're supposed to be in at, like, say, 8 a.m. Would you show up in the parking lot at 8 a.m.? What if you did that? And what if you didn't know where you had to go? What would you do? It would take you, like, 15 or 20 minutes to just show up. What would happen on your first day at a new tech, high-level tech job? You're working at, you know, one of these major tech companies where there were over 300 applicants to get the job, and you got it. They'd be like, what's going on? Hey, we all make mistakes. If you're late, and sometimes it happens. There's a traffic accident. Something happened. First thing you do, hey, I'm really sorry. There's what happened. But you own it, right? But we have a conviction. We know. We're working for, you know, this corporate world. We would show up really early. We would prepare ahead of time. Teachers have their lesson plans knocked out, nailed, prepared ahead of time, right? They think through things. They're prepared. In the same way, we have to live a life for the honor of God, thinking ahead, is this my best for God? And so this is the challenge for the day. Is Jesus really your king? A king does not receive whatever is left over. A king does not merely advise your life. He doesn't give you some input that might be helpful to your life. A king rules. So today, I know I told you it's going to be a hard lesson. Put your life on the scales. Does my calendar show that Jesus is my king? Does my giving show that Jesus is my King? By the way, we're on our special missions giving. So many of you have sacrificed, but probably over half have not given anything. That's okay. We got another month to go. We're going to hit it by the end of August, right? That's okay. A lot of us, we're waiting, okay? I hope you're preparing. We're giving. This is tithes. This is offerings part. This is, we're giving to work outside the normal, right? We're expanding, right? That's the idea here. Do my dreams show that Jesus is King? What do you think about? What do you dream about? What are you hoping to see happen in your life and the lives of people you love? What kind of spiritual thinking are your dreams about the new company that you're going to build so you can retire early? Which I'd love for you to do that if your goal is to join me in the work of the ministry. Free, paid, right? You're paying yourself. And you're welcome. If you want to be full-time, self-supporting, come see me. I want you to do that. Does my obedience show that Jesus is King? Will Jesus truly be King? Church, I believe in this church. It's in us. But I think occasionally we need to hear some stuff, to do some soul searching, to really consider, you know, our life on the scale, right? So here's the answer. Give Jesus your best. That's it. Think of it. Give him your best. Not your leftovers, not your excuses, not your intentions, not someday I'll do it. I've been thinking of being more committed. Do it. Your best. Repent where you know you've grown a little bit casual on things. Reorder your life under the rule of Jesus. We're here to help you. If you don't know exactly what that is, we want to train you. Many of us are trained in teaching you the foundations of making Jesus King. We'll spend time. We'll set aside time in our schedule to train you how to do it because it's worth it. Jesus gave us his best. And we'll close with this last verse. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Our service is our response to his grace. Let's not be found wanting on the scales of really responding to that grace. Paul said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I make it my ambition to preach and teach and serve and give. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards ahead, he wanted to participate in the life of Jesus by giving his best. Each of us should do the same. Let's enter the King's service and give Jesus your best. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.